Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Some councils are auditing schools and urging a ban on the terms boy and girl.
For those who are in an open or polyamorous relationship, your relationships are holy.
A gay black woman's victim status is less than that of a black trans woman, who ranks below a black Muslim trans woman.
We don't want to just win the argument about sexuality. We want to use this as a gospel opportunity.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yep. I'm willing to go there. This is Wretched Radio. So you want to win the next election for sure. No recounts, no shenanigans, just an overwhelming tide of red. You want that? Well, I've got it for you. That's right. I'm willing to use our political angst to encourage you to evangelize. Let's just take a look at the science, shall we? No doubt. Most of us have. I have to confess, so far, I don't want to brag, but I'm going to. Because, well, I mean, I'm just doing this for your edification, because normally I wouldn't brag, you know, just outright brag.
Not you.
No, but I can justify it by saying, this is so everybody out of the tens and tens of people listening can be edified. So you can just thank me for this brag. It's not a sin. It's actually sanctified bragging. I've done pretty good. With the news stuff, I haven't been drinking the hemlock. I mean, consuming a lot of the news product. I haven't been following the if this happens, that happens, that count this deal. I've seen some of it here and there. You decide your balance. I'm just telling you, mine is really good right now. So, I hope you're edified with that. Nevertheless, this particular story, this comes from Christian Headlines. Headline says, the number of Christian voters is decreasing, says the study. Republican voters who identify as Christians are steadily decreasing. In 2008, it was 87%. It's now 78%. It makes sense, doesn't it? We see the rise of the nuns, the kids, they're leaving the faith, etc. And they're voting. And they're voting wrong. That's right. I said it to my enlightened evangelical friends who told us to not worry about how we vote. They vote wrong when they vote blue for a pro-abort, anti-God platform. Sorry, I can't find any other word in the Bible to suggest it's anything but a sin to do so. And so it is, as we see the numbers deteriorate inside of Christendom, we're seeing different election results. An individual from the National Association of Evangelicals of Government Relations said, what's going down is faith among the American people. The percentage of Americans who identify as Christian has been declining, and so it is. They're voting differently. So, you want to win an election? Start evangelizing. There it is. Easy peasy.
It's a great tactic.
Which is exactly what we've been supposed to be doing all along. I don't know what I just did to that B verb there, but the point is, that is what you and I are to be about. And look at the implications. Look at what happens because of it. We don't evangelize people so that we can win elections, but it sure does seem, scientifically I might add, that that does happen to be the effect. In 2008, Democrats agreed abortion should be legal only under certain circumstances, but changed in 2020 to supporting legality in virtually all circumstances. What happened? That's not how a Christian thinks. That's not how an evangelical should think. And yet, apparently, we've got an evangelical think tank who tells us, no, you can be more strategic. You can actually be a registered Democrat strategically. Really? We can be a registered Democrat because it's really strategic should you happen to live in New York City and it helps you to participate in the voting process. Really? I wonder, could you strategically be a part of the pro-rape party if that existed? The pro-molestation party. It's just strategic. So thanks to our evangelicals who have led so many to rethink how we vote. Thank you. Thank you very much for what we can look forward to. And if you would really like to win an election, then evangelize so that more people are elect. Look what I just did. I just did a biblical election pun there. And that is what you and I should have been doing all along anyway. Are you prepared to evangelize? Are you prepared to share your faith? Are you ready to participate in the Great Commission? Are you ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within you? If not, might I suggest we have a lot of time that we could use these days, one way or another. I'm like a lifestyle buffet. I'm just going to place some options in front of you. Now, you can choose to take that Jell-O with the marshmallows that have, is it congealed, congealed? They're all disgusting. You can take that, or you can take the prime rib that the chef is sawing at the end of the line. Your call. You can watch and consume an inordinate amount of politics, or you could redeem the time. Should you be aware of what's going on? There's no doubt about it. It is wise to be aware. There's nothing in the Bible that indicates it is wrong to ever read a news feed. But we are to redeem the time. How much do I need to know? To me, Fox News has become as predictable as the Hallmark Channel. And let me tell you, that's predictable. We watched a good portion of one the other night. Yep. Yeah, that's right. That's what we did. We watched a little Hallmark Channel. And you know, there was a part of it that actually felt good because it was such escapist fare. I totally get it. And yet it is so predictable. This one, the queen of, you know, Whip-de-Doo-ville, we didn't catch the beginning of it. She and her snobby son, who's going to be the king, gets stuck in, of course, the most quaint village on the planet, somewhere in New Hampshire, and they get snowed in, and he's kind of a snotty kid, but the girl who runs the inn is really sweet, and of course, I'm shocked they got together in the end. It's amazing, even though when he flew back to his own country, he came back for the Christmas banquet that we didn't think was going to happen because the barn was leaking or something like that. I can't keep a totally predict. We all know that. So is Fox News. You turn it on and you watch Tucker, who I think is a brilliant monologist, which I think is the right word for he gives a really killer monologue. But then you can stick around and you can watch Sean, same stories that were just covered, except this time they just get shouted at you. And then Laura Ingraham, same stories, different experts, slightly different, but it's the same. And I'm not going to tell you what to do with your TV time. I don't think that we should be doing that. This is just an encouragement to redeem the time, y'all. People are perishing. There is a bigger election going on. People are dying without knowing Jesus Christ. And we've got time. We can be actually strategic. We could be doing things to win people to the Lord. We could be investing in people. We could be burning some calories for other human beings. If nothing else, we could be filling our minds with what is true, lovely, worthy of praise. All of those descriptors, by the way, in Philippians are about God. The very essence of what is true, God, lovely, God, worthy of praise, God. We could be studying Him. And I'll tell you, you're going to feel better. Case in point, I hold in my never-before-nicotine-stained fingers a book called Declaring His Glory Among the Nations, Daily Scripture Meditations from Pastors from Around the World. This is a gift if you want it. It's a huge book. Listen, here, why? That's a big book right there. It's filled. It's got 365 because it's for the whole year. It'll take you through, and it's written by pastors from the Masters Academy International. Masters Academy, they are seminary-trained graduates from the Masters Seminary in California. They go back to their home countries and then they train other pastors. So they're like mini seminaries. It's so worthy of your support. It really, really is. Wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor. You can support the ministry and they will right now, if you want it, they will give you a copy of this book, Declaring His Glory Among the Nations. Why don't you get it? Just get it. It's free. They're even paying for shipping. They're just sending it to you from Masters Academy. I want to read you one of these. Tell me this wouldn't do you better. This is from June 29th. And the name is withheld for security reasons. It'll give you a little perspective. We've got brothers and sisters who can't put their name on a devotion for a book because they could get killed. The sacrificial shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life so I can take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I receive from my Father, John 10. Christ speaks of himself here as a good shepherd of Israel and those saved from other nations. This imagery is often used in Scripture as it is a clear illustration of God's care for us. A shepherd's labor is marked by difficulty and danger. Every shepherd risks his life when he goes out to the pasture. Christ's mission, however, did not involve the risk of death. It included the certainty of death. He came knowing he would die. Death was not an undesirable outcome, but his predetermined one. Would you like to read the rest of that and perhaps be encouraged to fill your brain with what is pure, lovely, worthy of praise? You can just scoot wretched.org/pastor and do that, wretched.org/pastor, and you can get a copy of this. But whatever it is, maybe, just maybe, like I, you have to consider, what am I filling my noggin with? Am I going to build up more strongholds or tear them down with thoughts that are pure, lovely, and worthy of praise? This is Wretched Radio. If and you are a preborn.org/wretched supporter, providing ultrasounds and even ultrasound machines, this is a great big thank you from South Florida.
This is our sonogram room, but we call it the miracle room because our mission is to save lives, save souls in South Florida. And in this very room, that specific thing happens. But for many years, we didn't have much support for this miracle room. Thank you for the new machine that is on its way. Thank you for your ministry to the unborn.
Ultrasounds save lives, but preborn clinics need ultrasound machines first. If you could provide a machine or if you could provide a $28 ultrasound, whatever it is, your support for preborn, it saves lives, it saves souls, it saves families. You can become a preborn supporter at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thank you so much for being here and listening to Wretched Radio today. We're also grateful when you share your wretched stories with us or your questions, your comments, your conundrums, and snarks. Two easy ways for you to share. First, you can email idea@wretched.org or you can leave us a voicemail on Beep Talk, 1-877-282-BEEP. Either way, we would love to hear from you. Just like this story here that we received from Jeanette, who says, "Hello, Wretched. Love your show, appreciate you, and respect your teaching. My boyfriend introduced me to the Wretched Ministry. He gave me the Drive-By Theology CD, and I love it. I listen to it on repeat. I also try to listen to the podcast every day. I really appreciate all the work you and your team put into it, and we appreciate you, Jeanette, as well. And to everyone listening, please send us more Wretched stories just like that at idea@wretched.org or by calling Beep Talk, 1-877-282-BEEP. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel."
Uh-huh. And you didn't think it was worth your time to pay attention in geography class.
I'm thinking about a village that we visited called Pirasmani. It took us about 4 hours to get there, and the road was so bumpy that we were a couple of basket cases by the time we got there. But you know what? There were 35 kids waiting there for us. They have no church in this village. Talk about an unreached place, and we're now operating a tomorrow club in that place.
You and I could not find that place on a map of Eastern Europe, but tomorrow clubs do, and they go, and they bring the gospel, and kids are getting saved. They're bringing the gospel home to parents, and churches are being started or revitalized. Would you please consider supporting your own tomorrow clubs? $30 per month will disciple 30 kids in places you and I couldn't even find on a map. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Know your reformers. Martin Luther was a German monk and professor who was plagued with doubt about his salvation. When he finally read the Bible for himself, he rediscovered the doctrine of justification by grace through faith. His bold witness for biblical truth was the spark that ignited the Protestant Reformation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, guys, know what I'm doing?
What?
Staying in my lane. This is Wretched Radio. Gotta stay in the lane, man, because I'm reading a fair amount, because I'm trying to avoid most of it, a fair amount of commentaries from evangelical pontificators telling me what I'm supposed to think about the election, specifically the process, the chicanery, the voter fraud or not. Apparently, they've got an inside track as to what's actually happening or not. I don't. And just because you maybe have a platform doesn't mean you get to pontificate on what's actually happening. I don't know. I don't know.
I thought you were going to give us all the juicy details.
I know. I don't know. I don't know one way or the other. I've got an opinion, but who cares? I mean, really, who cares about my opinion? You and I could sit around and we could watch the news together and blather all day long together. And what power does that have? Or what authority might I have to say? Or what inside scoop do I know about where I can write articles and do podcasts saying, Christian, this is what's really happening regarding the voter recount business, the lawsuits. This is what... I don't know what's going on. I just want to stay right in my lane. So what is the Christian lane? Because I would suggest to you that if that is true for me, and it is, that I don't have a political inside track, none of us really do we? I mean, it's sort of like saying, so tell me, what do you think about the economy in South America? Well, it's a lot of them, because aren't there like a lot of countries in South America and such? And even if I were an economist, I couldn't tell you everything that there is to know about every trade, stock market value, what's happening with currency, what their manufacturing rate is, what their commerce is like internationally. I don't know. So what do I know? I don't know what's going to happen with the recount. I don't know. And I don't know if it happened, did or didn't happen. I'm a little surprised that some high profile people are telling us what we're supposed to think. I'm going to watch and see. And that's an okay position. I can live in that ground, can't you? I don't know. So let's watch and see what's going to happen. And I might suggest that we just wait. And as we are waiting, that we are not going to be the nail-biting, anxious, fretting people. That lane I can drive in. That lane has very clear signage for me. I can read what I'm supposed to be doing. I can understand clearly how I'm supposed to be thinking. And I can make it through this season because I have guideposts along the way that are not complicated. They're not confusing. They're not complex. They're crystal clear, and they are found in God's Word. I need to stay there. I can't be pontificating. I mean, okay. What did I just? Here we go. Here's some stuff. 81% of self-identified evangelicals voted for President Trump, which tied the total he received in 2016. 14% of evangelicals voted for Democratic nominee Joe Biden. Thank you, evangelical political think tank, who told people that that's okay. Thank you. Oh, I could dissect these numbers, I guess. But even if I were an expert in such things, what? Who knows? Who know? Who are these evangelicals? Who are the 14%? Who are the 81? Wait a second. 81 and 14, 95. Okay, so does that mean 5% did what? Voted for the third party guy?
I would imagine so.
Thank you. Thank you, evangelical political think tank. Thank you. 5%. And that's something. I can only stay in my lane. And there is a really big temptation right now to jump onto the other lane, which is the lane of politics. I've got an opinion. So do you. Can we chat about it? Certainly. But I want to make sure that I'm filling my brain and consuming it with stuff that I can know. And maybe right now you are experiencing a time of anxiety. And you are experiencing a time of uncertainty, fear of the future, really natural. Nobody should condemn you for those thoughts coming into your brain. We can be aware of what's going on and prepare for the future. That is not unbiblical at all. We see Jesus preparing for the future when he tells them, hey, go into town, get the table ready. We've got to have the place for the Passover. He didn't just show up and voila, it was there. No, you prepare for the future knowing that God can change anything. We do it trusting him totally and fully, not trusting what we're planning is going to save us, but that God is going to take us through. We can do those things. And as we go, might I suggest we fill our brains with more than just a meme. Maybe you've read a tweet. Ask yourself this question. Perhaps you're fretting about the election. It's weighing on your heart. And somebody sends a Bible verse and you go, ah. Okay, that's good. Yes, that's good. Well, imagine if you were filling your brain with a lot of verses. Imagine if you just didn't read the verse and then jump right back into the recount. How would your brain be different? The brain, this is the room. This is the battleground. This is where walls are built up or torn down. This is where you will have joy or not. It's in your noggin. Because it's the connective tissue between your soul and the physical world. And it is a bit of a, I grant you, I don't want to call it mystical, but the connection between soul and body. How is it that these two are even connected? How do they work? The answer is, I have no idea. God does. He's got it figured out. What makes you, you? What the Bible sometimes calls your heart, your soul, your spirit, same word for the same entity, you. You're connected to your body. You're not separate. Not totally one and totally the other. They're connected. And when you fill your brain with things that are good and theologically sound and focusing on the eternal, you're just going to have more joy. You're not going to be miserable. Ask yourself the question right now. If you're really upset about this right now, wouldn't you rather have joy? Wouldn't you rather choose that? I think it was Tucker Carlson. I was listening to one of his monologues. He really is. Whoever's writing his stuff, if Tucker Carlson is writing his own stuff, he needs to be elected king. I'm telling you, this guy is writing. Woo! Staff, whatever. He was talking about liberals, that they're just miserable people. And I remember going, well, yeah, to a degree, you know, they are, because they can't have joy. From a theological perspective, they can't have true joy. They don't know what that is, because to be joy-filled is to be obedient to God, to live in alignment with him, to study Jesus, to become more and more conformed and transformed into him, his image. That's true joy. They can have stuff. They can have fine wine. They can have big houses. And they do, by the way, thinking, this will all just stay the same. It'll only just be nicer in the future. And his commentary, I think, was right, at least to a degree. They can be a bit of a miserable lot. Okay. I amen that, but I suspect if they would look at evangelicals right now, liberals would go, wow, they're kind of crying in their soup, aren't they? They're a sad lot. Wouldn't you rather be happy? Why not? You really do have the choice right now. Today can be a joy-filled day, or I can just stay right in the political soup and just keep stirring it up and feeling rotten, going to bed anxious, waking up and going, it's still there. It's your choice. Might I encourage you? There's so many places you can run to in the Bible, but I would just, okay, maybe because I wrote a book about it, stressed out. It's about John 14 through 16. Jesus is equipping the followers to not be troubled, to have joy. And he talks about the joy and he prays for their joy, not just getting through like a bridge over troubled waters. No, he wants you to have joy through the troubled waters. You can have it by being obedient and by thinking right and by believing correctly. And that's where he starts. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. You see, when we're not feeling joy, we're not believing in God. I'm not saying you're not a believer. I'm just saying you're not believing like you should. You're believing the process. You're believing that what's going to make me happy, you believe that what's going to keep me safe is an election result. That's what you're believing. He says, believe in God. Believe in me too. You're troubled? Believe more. Believe harder. Believe rightly. Don't trust in chariots and horses. Believe in God, believe also in me. And then Jesus, when you read through it, he regularly says, I'm saying these things so that your heart won't be troubled. Be at peace. Have joy. Don't worry about these things. And he lists things like, he's in control. Without me, you can't do anything. Whew. So he's totally in control of the election. I'm going to send you a comforter. Hey, we've got this resource inside of us called the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, who comforts us. Are you tapping into that? Jesus wants you to. Jesus wants you to think on right things. You analyze your life. I'll analyze my life. I want to stay in my lane because the lane for the Christian is filled with sweetness and joy. And I can try at least to figure that one out because I have his word. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, this is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. To ensure Christians are unable to meet, China's Communist Party reportedly has been demolishing churches and repurposing places of worship, turning them into entertainment venues, factories, or cultural centers promoting President Xi Jinping's socialist values. Bitter Winter, which is a publication that monitors religious liberty violations in China, reports that in April, the Guangxin District government in Shangriao City shut down an old local church venue for organizing illegal gathering and refusing to join the Three Self Church. The next month, it was converted into a civilization practice station for a new era, a nationwide project launched by the CCP in July 2018 to encourage people of faith to abandon religions and follow the party. Party propaganda posters were posted everywhere in the venue, and table tennis tables were brought inside. The church was just one of many shuttered by the CCP in recent months. According to Bitter Winter, last year, more than 70,000 Protestant venues, including state-approved Three Self Churches, were shut down. In August, at a meeting of Three Self Church directors in Bellevue, town officials explained that empty churches must be rented or sold. One of the churches, which had been unused since its closure in June last year, was rented out in August, while another was sold the same month. Another church was sold for a mere 20,000 RMB, or about $3,000 US. In recent years, numerous reports have emerged of Chinese authorities replacing crosses with the CCP flag and images of Jesus with President Xi, in addition to converting churches into buildings for political activities. The CCP has also increasingly pressured church leaders to infuse their sermons with political ideology. Additionally, censors have begun removing the words Christ and Jesus from some publications, including on Chinese social media networks. Mike Pompeo, the U.S. Secretary of State, recently stressed that it's increasingly clear that the CCP is no friend to democracy, the rule of law, transparency, nor to freedom of navigation. More Wretched Radio is still to come. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. Malachi was the last recorded prophet of God until John the Baptist 400 years later. Malachi addressed the corrupt priesthood, half-hearted worship, divorce, injustice, and neglected tithes. He also foretold the coming of John the Baptist, Jesus the Messiah, and the great day of the Lord when God judges the wicked and rewards the righteous. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Wow, this is a really good book. Oh, wait a second!
Who's the author?
I wrote that one. This is Wretched Radio. I would like to share with you some thoughts from some dead people that might encourage you and to consider the teaching of Jesus in John 14 through 16, which is an inclusio. It's a book-ended section of Scripture. At the beginning, he says, don't let your heart be troubled. At the end, he tells you, hey, all this stuff, so you can have joy. Everything in between is all for our joy. Think about that. On the night Jesus was betrayed, three chapters for you. That is staggering by itself. You just want to have yourself a reprogrammed noggin. Think about that alone. The night Jesus is betrayed, he writes, if you will, three chapters of anxiety advice for you. What does that tell you about Jesus? And inside of this book, it's called Stressed Out. Now, a lesser man would tell you it's available at wretched.org, but I'm not going to do that. This is from James Smith. Inside of the book, inside of all of the practical, the 12 anxiety relievers that Jesus gives in John 14 through 16, I sprinkled in how the Puritans, how dead guys used to think. Believer, writes James Smith, never repine at your trials. Never be over anxious for their removal. They're appointed by Jesus as your purifier and are choice blessings in disguise. Seek their sanctification. Wrestle with God that you might see his love in every stroke, and look to Jesus that you might enjoy his presence when passing through the flame. Nothing can hurt you while Jesus is near, and he is never nearer to you than when you are in the furnace. For he sits there as the refiner, watching the process, regulating the heat, and waiting to effect a gracious deliverance when the ends of his love are answered. He's only preparing you for fresh manifestations of his glory and fitting you for larger communications of his love. In the furnace, you will lose nothing that is worth keeping, but you will obtain what is truly valuable. Our house is really comfortable right now. Here's why. If you haven't gone through this, you will. And by the way, I'm not even telling you what level it's at. I'm just telling you, it's the best level that I've ever lived in. And here's why. When we were raising our kids, three of them, we had a house that had more stuff, more bedrooms. The kids move out, and what do? You downsize. And that means you get rid of a lot of junk. you just scrape it right off the, and you get rid, and you keep the good stuff. And you give it to the kids if they want it. Kids these days don't seem to. Nevertheless, you get rid of the crummy stuff or the cobbled together stuff, and you just keep the good stuff and you put it in a smaller space. And you know what? It's really sweet. And that's where we're living right now. And I've had to think about, okay, so what would happen if we get to the point in this country where Christians are literally taken from their homes? It does happen. It's probably happening right now to one of your brothers or sisters. Right now, they're losing their job. Their bank accounts are being stripped. It is happening right now. People are evil. And even if they happen to be grandfatherly-like, doesn't mean they're not evil. And I thought, so what happens if this stuff goes? This stuff goes. Right now in our house, for the most part, everything is working. when you got kids, how stuff gets trashed and it's put together with duct tape. Right now, everything's kind of pleasant. And there are not a lot of chores on the weekend to do. And I'm kind of digging it. Can I read that last sentence to you again? In the furnace, you will lose nothing that is worth keeping. If there's anything in your heart that you're holding on to, that you're worried about, it's not worth it. It's not worth it because he's got a better thing for you. He wants to burn it away. He wants to get rid of the dross. He wants to leave something purified. It is not worth it. It doesn't really matter. Now, that's easy to say, isn't it? And I can say, well, should that day come, that's how I'm going to think. No, that's not how I'm supposed to think then. It's how I'm supposed to think now. What it reveals is that I might be digging our downsized living a little too much. If I'm concerned that, it'd be a drag to have to move from here. If that's in my heart, it means I'm holding on to something that is not worth it. This is where balance comes in. It doesn't mean that we have to walk around in tatters. It doesn't mean that you can't buy a new piece of furniture. That's not the point. This is all heart business. Let me share with you another. By the way, I took all of these from Grace Gems. This one's from David Harsha. I don't know who this is. Jesus wept John 11:35, the Son of God, the creator of the universe, the Lord of glory, in tears. Amazing sight. How plainly do those tears show the tenderness of Jesus, and how animating to think that the heart of Jesus, now that he reigns in glory, is still full of sympathy and full of love for his suffering disciples in this valley of tears. The Jesus that you see mourning at the death of Lazarus, he's still Jesus. He didn't leave that behind. He's still tender-hearted. He gets us. And you can avail yourself of him. Or not. Weeping believer, you whose tears are flowing, come to Jesus for sympathy and tell him all your grief. He has words of comfort for you, precious promises. He can console you as no one else can. He is the same in all ages, yesterday, today, forever. The eye that dropped its tears at the tomb of Lazarus will be fixed upon you in all the scenes of anguish through which you may be called to pass before reaching the bright world of everlasting joy. You can't imagine a scenario that Jesus hasn't been through worse. Stuff taken away? He was stripped. He didn't have a wardrobe. Jesus didn't have a home base. Not of his own. What he had on his back was taken away from him and auctioned off among the people who took it from him. What have you gone through that Jesus has not endured? Betrayal? Was Jesus betrayed like no other by his own family? It would appear that James and Jude did not believe in Jesus until the crucifixion. They could have been the taunting voices that joined the chorus shouting, "Crucify him." His family, they completely rejected his messiahship and him. So if you've been bruised, if you've been wounded, not like Jesus has, have you been hurt? Not like Jesus has. Have you had nails driven through your Achilles and stapled to a tree where it had to bear the weight of your body? You're going through pain? Jesus has. And he knows you and he gets you, and you can avail yourself of him or not. Rejoice that you have so sympathizing a friend who is ready to relieve your grief and conduct you to those happy mansions where God shall wipe away all tears from your eyes. Who can tell how great is the sympathy of the Son of God who came from the bosom of the Father, from the unapproachable splendor of heaven, to bear our infirmities, to lighten our burdens, to wipe the tears from our eyes, and turn our sorrows into everlasting joys. Jesus is the great sympathizer. And in the time of your keenest anguish, look to him for compassion and relief. He will regard your cries of misery. Yes, he whose heart felt and bled for sinners will speak soothingly to you and give you a foretaste of heaven, even in a world of tribulation. Oh, the ineffable compassion of our blessed Redeemer. And there he is. There he is. And you want to hear kind of the ironic, funny part of all of this? Y'all, right now, we're not even getting persecuted. It's not even happening. Your stuff hasn't been taken away. Yeah, there's been a florist here and a baker there, but you and I haven't really gone through it. And yet we're worried. It's kind of laughable that you and I are anxious about what isn't even here yet. And isn't that what James speaks about? Why are you worried about tomorrow? Doesn't today? And that's Jesus in Matthew. And James repeats the sentiment. You're fretting about what's going to happen or planning and thinking you've got it under control. We haven't even begun to feel what it's going to be like. And we're anxious. And there sits King Jesus, lowly, tender, humble, sympathetic. And if you're now thinking, well, it's too trite to bring to him, he says, nope, bring that too. Bring it all. Cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. Question, will you avail yourself of Jesus or will you not? This is Wretched Radio. Don't take my word for why you should support the Masters Academy International. Take John MacArthur's.
We go into countries all over the world to train pastors, to train them in godliness, to train them in expositing the scripture, in teaching sound theology. Some of our training centers are 30 years in, and they're now turned over completely to the indigenous leadership of those countries, and we can pull out and go to another country. They're in Eastern Europe, Western Europe, Latin America, Asia. Strong pastors make strong churches. Strong churches make strong Christians, and that makes a high impact of Christianity in the world.
That is why I would like to invite you to consider supporting the Masters Academy International. Little mini seminaries, Todd, that was redundant, all over the world. Please strengthen the church by supporting the Masters Academy International. You can do that at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
It's here! It's here! Road Trip to Truth is finally here! We know you've been waiting patiently, but it is finally here! Join host John Ferbarez on his journey to find answers on the topics of evolution, depression, the reliability of the Bible, the existence of God, and of course, truth itself. Not only can you purchase the 13 full-length episode show, you can also purchase the Bible study course, perfect for middle schoolers through adults. Don't believe us? Maybe you'll take Tim Challey's word for it. He says, quote, "For too long, too much of the material prepared for young folk has been insultingly shallow and embarrassingly trite. What makes it even worse is that many young people are crying out for solid content while their youth leaders serve them nonsense. I'm thankful that Road Trip to Truth unashamedly and effectively deals with real, meaty, life-changing truths of the Christian faith." So visit roadtriptotruth.org and get your copies. That's roadtriptotruth.org.
No doubt, many of your kitchen table conversations have involved health insurance. Mrs. Friel and I used to talk about it a lot, but not since we joined MediShare. Biblical health sharing. Over 400,000 Christians sharing each other's medical expenses so far to the tune of $4 billion. You can be confident they can handle your medical bills too. An average family through MediShare will save approximately $500 per month, and you'll be able to sleep at night. And right now, they're waiving their application fee during the month of November, which just might be open enrollment time for you. Please, maybe it's time for you to reconsider how you protect yourself and family. To learn more about MediShare, visit MediShare.com/wretched, MediShare.com/wretched, or call their nice folks, 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is giving. All Christians are commanded to give, but God has given some an extra measure of generosity so that they can give generously, knowing that God will provide for them as they work to provide for the needs of the church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Lessons from... To be honest, I can't even recall. This is Wretched Radio. So there we are, Mrs. Friel and I. I think, I'm not even certain, I think that we were in Blue Ridge, Georgia. It's a mountain town where we went, what were we doing, gentlemen?
Leafing.
That's correct. Welcome to the north. That's right. We were leafing up in Blue Ridge, and I think we were in a store there. But honestly, it could have been in Atlanta. I don't remember, which only strengthens my point. It was in a store where they were selling, it's so fuzzy to me, and yet I can actually see the faces on the floor of this particular store where they sold, like, stuff. Just stuff.
Trinkets.
Old stuff. It was kind of a collection of things. There was on the ground, in two circular frames, it was this guy, I'm guessing from the late 1700s, British, but like kind of northeastern look. And almost like, oh, and the woman, she looked like the types of women figures that you see in a, you know, that those lock, what are those things called? The lockets or the pendants?
Yeah.
Where it's like pink.
I have a picture in it.
Yeah, but no, but it's where it's carved out. That's that too, but the same sort of deal. But it's where it's like a piece of stone and then an image of a woman is carved out. There's a name for those things.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm talking about? And it could be a pin.
That's too old for me.
It could be a necklace. Too old for you. That's what this woman looked like. Okay, so think like this is somebody who lived during the James Madison period. That's what I'm looking at, I think. But I don't remember, quite honestly, which is kind of funny because that's what I was thinking about. I looked at those two people and I thought, I wonder what their cares were. I wonder what they were anxious about. I wonder what was really causing them sadness and frustration and disappointment and heartache. And it dawned on me that nobody remembers it. Nobody knows and nobody cares except one. Jesus Christ. That's it. He's the only one who cares. Nobody. They're dead. They're gone. They're sitting on the floor in a painting that I can't even remember the store that they happened to be placed in. There they were on the. They probably had their pictures. Somebody got together and painted them. They must have been somewhat important. Gone. Gone. And all of their worries with them. They're gone. They're vanity. Our worries, our carking cares, our vanity, they just do not last long. But here we are in them. And we think that this is the end of the universe, and it is most certainly anything but. Let's just say you were carved into a locket. You were turned into a painting. There you are, you, your spouse, your kids. And now it's 200 years from now, and somebody else is in Blue Ridge walking around, and there you are sitting on the floor of a store, probably with a piece of tape, with a price written on it. Do you think that they're going to look at it and go, oh, those poor people, what they endured through that election, oh, such turmoil. Nope. They're just, what is the point of this? 2 points. One, these things come and these things go. These are not eternal things. They are temporal things. They do not last. They are not long. Now, they're real while we're in them. Make no mistake about it. And that leads us to point number two. Jesus actually does care. And that is what we need to be remembering. These things, they are a vapor. They are a mist. Do you know what the vice president of Truman was thinking on December 12th, 1947? No, you don't. He was anxious about something, no doubt about it. It's gone. Done, taken care of, closed up, books are wrapped, no problems, and you don't care. Now, he did, and so did Jesus, but nobody else really does. These things are very fleeting. If we cannot remember that they are so temporal, and yet there is one who is eternal, who's using these things for our eternal benefit, then we will just be miserable folks. Would like to share with you from a book called Stressed Out, A Practical Biblical Approach to Anxiety by a Todd Frielius.
Oh, wow.
Contains, yes, it's available at wretched.org. So I hear.
Ah.
It.
Ooh.
Yeah, ah. Right. Boy, imagine watching fireworks with you two. That would be really just heartwarming. You sold that.
You should go leaping with us sometime.
So what's that?
Well, you go look at the leaves on the trees as they change color.
Oh, that must be a southern thing. That must be.
Absolutely.
Don't you do that?
I do.
You go driving around and look at the leaves?
But we don't call it leaping.
Well, what do you call it for efficiency's sake?
A drive on a Sunday afternoon.
Okay, see, look at that.
Leaping. But you're pithy, so.
A drive on a Sunday afternoon. And there's a lot more syllables in there, too.
Sure.
Well, see,
where we come from,
oh boy,
I'm just telling you, where we come from,
yep.
The leaves are on the trees one day, and then they're off the next day. There's no time to go leafing. I mean, it's just, they're gone.
You know, I hate to argue with you. I don't think I agree with you on that.
Okay.
I don't. Here's the deal. When you go to Minnesota, you go to New Hampshire, you see leaves, they explode, and they're deep red. A lot of the sugar, so it's like this brilliant shock of red. And then the wind goes, and boom, down they come. What we noticed about the South is that it lingers here. Now, maybe it's just because it stages. Okay, so maybe you're right and I'm right in this deal. We can be postmodern together.
Okay.
Maybe the leaves from a tree, when they change, drop. But they don't all change at the same time.
That's true.
In the Midwest, it's like, bang, get out there. It's peak. And you go leafing because you don't have time to say, a Sunday afternoon drive because you'll miss leafing. So maybe you're right. Maybe they do fall down fast, but they do linger here. It is the South is, ooh, the falls in the South. Ooh, I like them.
Gorgeous.
I like them a lot. And driving through your mountains, you know, if you've ever been to Minnesota, Minnesota is so flat.
How flat is it?
You can stand and on the border of Minnesota, look to the east and see the back of your head. It is so flat. It is so flat in South Dakota.
How flat is it?
Yeah, see, you don't have to worry about falling asleep when you're driving because you can go off of the freeway, drive 70, 80, 90 acres, no problem, and then you can just make your way right back up there. You don't hit anything. You might run over some corn stalks. You're not going to hit, say, a hill. You just go, and then you just get back right on the road. So don't worry about...
That was our comedy hour.
All Things for Good by Dr. Octavius Winslow, without the comedy part. It is palpably clear and emphatically true that all that occurs in the Lord's government of his people conspires for and works out and results in their highest happiness and greatest good. Oh, wow. This is, you and I are like cars that are just, we're not going in for a tune-up. We just need such an overhaul, don't we? Did you grasp what this dude just said? And when I say dude, I mean Dr. Octavius Winslow. It is emphatically true that all occurs in the Lord's government of his people, conspires for and works out and results in their highest happiness and greatest good. I can't believe that guy cheated. It's for your happiness. It's for your good. Wow. So now when you read Romans 12:1 about that whole renewing of your mind, we got a lot of work to do, don't we? The gloomiest and most painful circumstances in the history of the child of God, without a solitary exception, are all conspiring and all working together for his real and permanent good. The painful and inexplicable events, which at the present moment may be thickening and deepening around your path, are but so many problems in God's government, which he is working out to their certain satisfactory and happy results. All things under the government of an infinitely great, all-wise, righteous, and happy Lord, beneficent, a good God, work together for good. What that may be, the shape it may assume, the complexion it may wear, the end to which it will be subservient, we cannot tell. To our dim view, it may appear to be an evil, but to God's far-seeing eye, it is a positive good. Do you think the government is going to change in January? It's not. Because this temporal government is under God's eternal reign. We are a part of that kingdom. That's our government. And everything that God does with this government is for our absolute happiness. The only question is how we'll respond to it. That's all. Okay, trite illustration. But it can't be worse than the South Dakota driving jokes. The point is, you as an adult give something to your kid that you think is, oh, you got to have this. Try this. These sardines are amazing. Oh, have these beets with blue cheese. You're going to love them. And what do they do? Yeah. All right. So who is right? Now, I get it. It's a matter of taste in this issue, in this instance. But you know what's best. You don't let your kids eat the candy because you know they need other things, even though they might not enjoy consuming them, you know that it is for their best to make them healthy. Christian, that's our God. That's your Jesus. That's your Father. Now, he is feeding you and he is feeding me what is for our happiness and good. The only question is, will we consume it or will we spit it out? And until tomorrow, go serve your king.